Malcolm also made his Hajj, the trip to the holy city of Mecca. There he received an Islamic name, El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. He was also shocked to see Muslims who were white, but not racists.
Many white people are fed up with what the Negroes suffer. And this is what I had to become aware of on my pilgrimage to Mecca. I could see then that there are many white people in this country who will side with the Negro in whatever he has to do to protect himself.
You have changed your attitude about the white man in the United States to some extent.
Well, I've broadened my scope. Travel broadens your scope. It gives you a wider understanding. And I have in my many lectures...
My darling Betty, everywhere I go, I am welcomed as a representative of our people. Our struggle is known and respected worldwide. Coincidentally, there are two white men who follow me around wherever I go. I wonder who they're working for. If I was a betting man, I'd say the CIA. What's your guess? Today I arrived in Arabia. I have never witnessed such sincere hospitality
and true brotherhood as practiced here in the ancient home of Abraham, Muhammad, and the great prophets of the scripture. Today, with thousands of others, I proclaim God's greatness
in the sacred city of Mecca. Wearing the Ihram garb, I made my seven circuits around the Kaaba. I drank from the well of Zemzem. I prayed to Allah for Mount Arafat. It was the only time in my life that I stood before the Creator of all and felt like a complete human being. Now, you may be shocked by these words, but I have eaten from the same plate, drunk from the same glass, and prayed to the same God with fellow Muslims whose eyes were blue, whose hair was blonde, and whose skin was the whitest of white. And we were all brothers, truly. People of all colors and races believing in one God, in one humanity. Each hour here in this sacred land enables me to have a greater spiritual insight into what is happening in America. The American Negro can never be blamed for his racial animosity. He's only reacting to 400 years of oppression and discrimination. But as racism leads America up the suicidal path, I do believe that the younger generation will see the handwriting on the wall, and many of them will want to turn to the spiritual path of the truth. The only way left in this world to ward off the disaster that racism must surely lead to. Once before, in prison, the truth came and blinded me. Well, it has happened again. In the past, I've made sweeping indictments of all white people. And these generalizations have caused injuries to some white folks who did not deserve it.
Because of the spiritual rebirth which I was blessed to undergo as a result of my pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca, I no longer subscribe to sweeping indictments of one race. I intend to be very careful not to sentence anyone.
Who has not been proven guilty.
I am not a racist, and I do not subscribe to any of the tenets of racism.
In all honesty and sincerity, it can be stated that I wish nothing but freedom, justice, and equality. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all people. Now, my first concern, of course, is with the group to which I belong, for we, more than any others, are deprived of our inalienable rights. But I believe the true practice of Islam can remove the cancer of racism from the hearts and the souls of all Americans. And if I can die having brought any light, having exposed any meaningful truth that will help destroy this disease, then all the credit is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, and only the mistakes have been mine. Please give all my love to the children. I love you dearly. Sincerely, El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X.
When he returned, he found that the news that he had a new perspective had beaten him back home, and the press was waiting for him to explain.
Abroad, you said you sent a feeling of great brotherhood and that conceivably you would be working toward integration in this country now. At least this is what you're reported to have said. Have you any comment on it?
I don't think that I ever mentioned anything about working toward integration. If I recall, I'm pointed out that while I was at Mecca making the pilgrimage, I spoke about the brotherhood that existed at all levels and among all people who were there on that Hajj, who had accepted the religion of Islam. And I pointed out that for what it had done, what the religion of Islam had done for those people over there, despite their complexion differences, that it would probably do America well to study the religion of Islam, and perhaps it could drive some of the racism from this society as it has driven racism from the Muslim society. Well, I can't say that the current integration drive is aiming for that goal, because it hasn't realized the goal in any state. They haven't even got integration right here in New York City. You have worse integration problems in the North than they have in the South. So if it doesn't work if you can't bring about integration in New York City, as international, cosmopolitan, up-to-date as it's supposed to be, you will never get integration anywhere else in the country.
Malcolm, have your experiences with white-skinned Muslims in Africa and the Middle East made you feel that relations between Negroes and whites who are not Muslims is any more possible?
When I was on the pilgrimage, I had close contact with Muslims whose skin would in America be classified as white, and with Muslims who themselves would be classified as white in America. But these particular Muslims didn't call themselves white. They looked upon themselves as human beings, as part of the human family, and therefore they looked upon all other segments of the human family as part of that same family. Well, now, they had a different look or a different air or a different attitude than that which is reflected in the attitude of the man in America who called himself white. So I said that if Islam had done that for them, perhaps if the white man in America would study Islam, perhaps it could do the same thing for him.
I think what a lot of people are interested in, Malcolm, is whether this experience has made you feel that your feelings have changed, that the animosity you have expressed in the past toward all whites.
The thing that I want to make clear, no matter how much respect, no matter how much recognition whites show toward me, as far as I'm concerned, as long as that same respect and recognition is not shown toward every one of our people in this country, it doesn't exist for me.
Malcolm,
are you prepared to go into the United Nations at this point and ask that charges be brought against the United States for its treatment of American Negroes?
Oh, yes. Please. Right in my the audience will have to be quiet. Yes, as I pointed out when I was during my travel, that nations look, African nations and Asian nations and Latin American nations look very hypocritical when they stand up in the United Nations condemning the racist practices of South Africa and that which is practiced by Portugal and Angola, and saying nothing in the UN about the racist practices that are manifest every day against Negroes in this society. Even in South Africa, those Africans aren't faced with bayonets and aren't faced with police dogs. And when I was in Beirut, I saw a picture on the front page of a Negro being beaten in Tennessee, on the front page of the paper in Beirut. When I got to Cairo, I saw the same picture of a Negro being beaten in Tennessee. When I got to Lagos, I saw the same picture. So were these African nations knowing the brutality that is inflicted upon black people in this country simply because those black people are trying to get what the Supreme Court said they were supposed to have 10 years ago? I would be not a man. If I was in a position to bring it in front of the United Nations and didn't do so, I wouldn't be a man.
Malcolm, do you intend to lead the charge in the United Nations?
Well, I find that to say you're going to lead something creates a lot of hostility, division, jealousy, and envy. I hope to work with any group of leaders or any group of organizations to do whatever is necessary to see this problem is brought before the United Nations.
Have you had any commitment from any nations in Africa to support
you? I would rather not say at this time, but one thing I found in my travels, all of them look upon us as their long-lost brother.
You realize the implication is that you have had such commitment when you say...
This is your interpretation of what I said. One thing that I found in all of my travels was that all of the Africans, not only Africans, but the Asians and the Muslims, look upon us as their long-lost brothers. And America had actually tricked many of them into a hands-off policy by giving them the impression that she was honestly trying to do something to solve the problem. My argument over there was designed to prove that it is impossible for the United States government to solve the race problem. It's impossible for a government which has 16 senatorial committees, over which 10 are chairmen by Southern segregationists, and 20 congressional committees, over which 12 are chairmen by Southern segregationists. This is a segregationist, racist government that's controlled by people from the South. They can't solve the race problem.
Do you intend to take any part in the political campaign this fall?
We intend to take part in everything that will get results at eliminating the injustices that our people are confronted with in this country. Politically, economically, anything.
Will you support candidates of either of the two parties?
We'd rather not say at this time.
Are you prepared to work with some of the leaders of the other civil rights organizations?
Certainly. Certainly. We will work with any groups, organizations, or leaders in any way, as long as it's genuinely designed to get results.
And any action on the civil rights bill, how will this affect the direction of your movement?
Any action on the civil rights bill? Well, I'm surprised that all of these civil rights groups combined haven't converged on Washington long before now. I'm surprised. If they took all the time and the expense of going down last year, singing their songs and things of that sort, before they even started the filibuster, I'm surprised that they have permitted the filibuster to go on as long as it has and have not taken any concrete actions to bring it to a halt.
Would you join another march to Washington?
Oh, yes.
You didn't last year, did you?
I didn't last year because I was a part of the Black Muslim Movement, which has as its policy a hands-off attitude in becoming involved in any phase of the struggle of the so-called Negro in this country for what he feels are his rights. And my disassociation from that particular religious group gives me complete freedom to involve myself in anything that I honestly and sincerely feel is designed to get results.
How would you say this pilgrimage to Mecca has altered the course of your relations with the movement of Elijah Muhammad?
Well, I don't know. I'm not here to discuss the movement of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in any way. I would say this, that the pilgrimage at Mecca would be an anthropologist's paradise, because it's the only event and the only spot on earth that has every specimen of humanity in the same place at the same time, practicing brotherhood and in harmony. It's the only place where I've ever seen brotherhood practiced by people of all races, of all, of everything.
Has this been a religious experience?
Definitely. I went because of my religious beliefs, and I think that I have a better understanding of my religion. I was a state guest while I was there for 12 days. The Prince Faisal, who was the present leader of the government, he made everything available to me to give me every opportunity to get a better understanding of the religion of Islam. When I first got there, I was in a compound because it wasn't known that I was there. Once they found out I was there, they put me in a suite at the Jeddah Palace Hotel, gave me a car with a chauffeur and a mutawif who could speak Arabic and take me wherever I wanted. I could go back and forth between Mecca and Jeddah every night if it was my desire. I have never been given more hospitality and treated with more brotherhood than I was treated in Arabia by the Muslims there.
Does your new beard have any religious significance?
No, not particularly, but I do think that you'll find black people in America, as they strive to throw off the shackles of mental colonialism, will also probably reflect an effort to throw off the shackles of cultural colonialism. And they may begin to reflect desires of their own, with standards of their own.
Malcolm, what specific concrete move would you make that other civil rights leaders have not made to ensure passage of the civil rights bill?
Well, I frankly believe, sir, that it's not within the heart
or conscience or ability.
They're rogue. They're becoming frustrated. They're becoming disillusioned. They're becoming disenchanted. And it's up to the government to do something about it.
Malcolm, your more controversial remarks was a call for black people to get rifles and form rifle clubs some time back. Do you still favor that for self-defense?
I don't see why that should be controversial. I think that if white people found themselves the victim of the same kind of brutality that black people in this country face, and they saw that the government was either unwilling or unable to protect them, that the intelligence on the part of the whites would make them get some rifles and shotguns and protect themselves. Now, Negroes are developing some kind of intellectual maturity, too. And they can see that having waited upon the government to protect them has been a wait that has been in vain. So any of them who live in areas where the government is not able to do its job, then we do have to get together and do a job of protecting ourselves.
I ask you another question that may seem a little silly, but it's the question of the names. I think a lot of people are confused by the new Arabic name, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz.
I've always had the name on my passport, Malik El Shabazz, only I only used it in the Muslim world. Well, Hajj is a title that is given to any Muslim who makes the pilgrimage to Mecca during the official Hajj season.
Well, will you now use Shabazz and drop X?
I'll probably continue to use Malcolm X and I'll probably use it as long as the situation that produced it exists.
You don't feel that Shabazz takes the place of X?
My going to Mecca and going into the Muslim world, into the African world, and being recognized and accepted as a Muslim and as a brother may solve the problem for me personally. But I personally feel that my personal problem is never solved as long as the problem is not solved for all of our people in this country. So I remain Malcolm X as long as there is a need to protest and struggle and fight against the injustices that our people are involved in this country.
When Cassius Clay was in Accra, he was quoted as saying some things that were not so friendly. Could you have anything to say about that?
I don't know anything about what he said. I'm always reluctant to believe what I read in the newspaper that one black man supposedly said about another black man.
Well,
if I have anything at all to say about Cassius, I'll say it to him.
Well, it's just that he said people weren't listening to you anymore. Do you think that's true?
As I said, if I have anything to say about him, I'll say it to him. He's a person who listens. He talks and he listens.
Do you still consider him a friend?
Yes, I consider all of our people my friend. And usually those who act unfriendly are only reflecting the poison that someone else has put in them.
Just one other one, and that's, what are you going to do about the traffic ticket?
The traffic ticket?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to appear in court on it.
When?
I don't know. I had left the lawyer was supposed to have appeared in court for me on the 19th of May, and from what I understand, he didn't, and it created a lot of controversy. I never was speeding. It was a segregationist police officer or an integrationist, I don't know which one. And he knew who I was, he recognized who I was, and stopped me on that pretext. And I just sat there. I didn't even talk to him. I just gave him my license and sat there because I figured that he might have been up to something else, you know.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Justice. But when you're in another man's country, in another man's land, under another man's flag, and under another man's government, and under another man's court system, you have to look to that other man for justice, and you'll never get it. And Negroes in this country probably are authorities on that.
To what extent does this formulation approach that expounded by Zionists? They, for example, many Zionists maintain they could never expect justice in the Tsarist courts and the courts found in other countries in Eastern Europe and so on. And they decided that it would be wise to establish a separate state in Israel.
And all of the world powers got together, the white world powers, I should say, got together and helped all of these white Jews to establish a separate state in the heart of a dark-skinned people's territory.
And if white people can get together and let other whites, help other whites, to establish an independent nation right in the midst of dark-skinned people, and then we don't see where white people should be so much against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's solution, not of setting up an independent dark nation in a white people's property, but he's asking the opportunity to set up an independent nation in our own, on our own continent. Let us leave America and go back home among our own people on our own land and set up our own independent society. But all he says is that this government, which made us slaves, should supply the transportation for us to get back home and give us all of the machinery and the tools necessary for us to till the soil and establish our own agricultural system to feed and clothe our people, our own economy, and in some way become an independent people among our own people on our own continent. This is intelligent. And Zionists should never criticize us.